at the U.S. Embassy in Turkey. Six shots fired amid a deepening dispute between two allies. I'm Greta Van Susteren, and welcome to Plugged In. And today we examine the very tenuous relationship between the United States and Turkey, a relationship that is deteriorating by the day. Former Secretary of Defense and former CIA Director Liam Panetta will help us sort out the competing agendas of the United States and Turkey. The two men who fired shots at the U.S. Embassy in Turkey say they did it in response to statements about Turkey by U.S. President Donald Trump and the decline of Turkey's currency against the dollar. It is the latest test of an alliance that has been tested for more than 75 years. At the moment, the relationship is very strained. The most recent flashpoint involves Turkey's detention of American Andrew Brunson, a Christian pastor charged with helping Turkish dissidents who staged a failed coup in 2016. U.S. President Donald Trump has demanded Brunson's release, and in retaliation for not releasing him, Trump has imposed economic sanctions and tariffs on Turkey. Those sanctions and tariffs then triggered a fall in the value of Turkey's currency, the lira, raising concerns about the stability of Turkey's economy and its impact both in Turkey and globally. VOA diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain explains.
Global markets had a turbulent week, with stocks falling Friday in Europe and a mixed picture in Asia, where emerging markets, such as India and Indonesia, are particularly prone to the effects of Turkey's teetering economy. The United States has threatened additional new sanctions on Turkey if detained American pastor Andrew Brunson is not released. Still, State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert has made clear the United States is not to blame for Turkey's economic woes.
Turkey's financial situation has been in the works for quite some time, and it dates prior to the imposition of sanctions on August the 1st.
Analysts agree Turkey's economic problems run much deeper and predate the current feud between Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan and U.S. President Donald Trump.
Turkey's economy is structurally unsound in the sense that it is very heavily based on rapid growth, cheap credit, reliant on projects in the construction sector. And the most dangerous part is that it is very heavily leveraged in terms of foreign debt, especially dollars. And so with the depreciation that we're seeing in the lira versus the dollar of 40% already this year, it makes it much more complicated and expensive for Turkey to be able to repay those debts.
Investors are carefully watching the links between Turkey and Asian Pacific countries, which are among Turkey's top 20 sources of imports, led by China.
I would say we're not heading for a 1990s crisis because we don't have the risk of contagion from Turkey, which we had within the Asian tigers in the 1990s. That said, I do think that tighter global credit and liquidity conditions will be damaging for emerging markets writ large.
Still, most analysts remain deeply concerned about Turkey's economy, particularly whether or not Turkish firms will be able to service their debt. Cindy Sain, VOA News, Washington.
Turkey's President Erdogan is threatening to find new alliances if the United States fails to respect Turkish sovereignty. In an op-ed published in the New York Times, Erdogan criticized the United States for its lukewarm response to the 2016 coup attempt against him. He repeated Turkey's demand for the U.S. to extradite Fethullah Gulen, a Turkish cleric now living in the United States. Erdogan says Gulen masterminded that failed coup attempt in 2016. Erdogan also raised the issue of U.S. support for a Syrian Kurdish group affiliated with the PKK. The PKK has been at war with Turkey for more than 30 years. Erdogan says weapons provided by the United States are being used by the PKK on Turkish forces. Erdogan has been leading Turkey since 2003, first as prime minister, and since 2014 as the country's president. Julia Polat is chief of VOA's Turkish service. She has been covering Erdogan since he came to power and covering Turkish politics for more than 30 years, both here in the United States and in Turkey. Nice to see you, Julia.
Good. Thank you very much.
All right. I have a sense of what Erdogan thinks of the United States and President Trump, but what I don't have a sense of is what the people of Turkey might think of President Trump and the United States. Is there a way to discern that?
About President Trump, the Turkish public resembles him to President Erdogan a lot. Even before the elections and before President Trump won, There were comments in Turkish media saying that Trump is so much like Erdogan, so the two countries will have a better relations if Trump is elected. So this is what actually the Erdogan government was hoping for, better relations than the Obama administration time. But it didn't happen because both leaders are very, very outspoken. And actually, they have they sometimes can have a harsh rhetoric. They can hurt their feelings or the country's feelings easily. What Erdogan hoped for did not happen. Turkey has many problems with the United States now. The Kurdish issue, the S-400s that Turkey is planning to buy from Russia, Turkey's close relations with Iran, and the violation of sanctions issue, so and Andrew Brunson's release, which didn't happen, although President Trump asked so many times. So there are many serious problems between the two countries.
It certainly seems that Erdogan and Putin are getting a lot cozier in their relationship. You mentioned the S-400s as one example, which, of course, the United States is not happy about. Do the people of Turkey, separate from Erdogan, but the people of Turkey, do they look more to Russia as someone they would rather align with than the United States?
They have to. Don't forget that Turkey's natural gas supplies, almost half of it is coming from Russia. In the past, Russia had cut off deliveries, and the Turkish people were really in a very bad situation in the middle of winter. So this can happen anytime. If Putin gets angry, then the Turkish public may suffer because they won't have gas, let's say, during winter months. So Turkey is a dependent country for natural gas to Russia and for oil to Iran.
All right. Do they like, do the people of Turkey, do they, are they, I realize it's a generalization, but do they like Erdogan? You've got the failed attempted coup by the military in 2016, but you've also got a change in the law beginning in April of 2017, which gave him essentially powers as a dictator. So do they, and I don't know if there was integrity with the election or not, but do the people of Turkey, are they satisfied with Erdogan?
50% of it. Let's say half of the population in Turkey is satisfied with Erdogan. But his party has been losing in recent elections, and the support is now 42%, which was up to 50% in the past. So the party is losing some ground, but Erdogan has a solid base of 50% support. So people like what he is doing, and he has actually... whomever has supported him has benefited from all the austerity measures and the construction business and any new developments in Turkey, they have benefited financially from it.
Julio, thank you very much. Turkey has been a member of NATO since 1952, and it's a common alliance that forms the foundation of the relationship between the United States and Turkey. Turkey's geography, straddling Europe, Asia, and the Middle East, gives the relationship added importance for the United States. Leon Panetta was CIA Director and Defense Secretary under President Barack Obama. He told me that Turkey and the United States need each other in order to be effective in the 21st century.
Well, there's no question that we are in a difficult period with Turkey because of the issue over the pastor, because of... the growing authoritarianism in Turkey because of the increase in tariffs now that have impacted their economy and hit the lira. So there's a number of areas of friction with Turkey. But at the same time, we have had those areas of friction in the past and have always found some way to try to resolve them. And I'm hopeful that we'll be able to do the same with this crisis.
How important is the United States to Turkey?
Well, I think the fact is that Turkey has always taken a position of power within the Muslim world, very different from Iran, very different from other Muslim countries, but it has always kind of assumed this role of being a key power that can not only relate to Europe, but obviously can relate to the Middle East. So as a result of that, I think Turkey does, in fact, play a very important role and is important for the United States to be able to maintain a relationship with Turkey as a result of that. So, you know, we're going through a difficult period, no question about it. The president himself has said that. But my experience has always been, both in my role as director of the CIA and as Secretary of Defense, that when I went to Turkey and met with their leadership, they were always very cooperative. We were always able to work together on issues of intelligence as well as defense issues. And I hope that somehow we can get back to that, because the relationship, the military, security, financial relationship is extremely important to both countries.
Well, it seems like sort of a breaking point or a tension point, certainly right now, is Pastor Brunson, who's been in custody. He was arrested in October of 2016, and President Trump says that he thought he had a deal to have him released. He was released to house arrest, not released completely so he could return to his home or even come to the United States. And now we hear that the president says, President Trump says, there'll be no more concessions, that he wants Pastor Brunson. So now what happens?
Well, you know, President Trump always takes a tough negotiating stand in a number of areas, and this is one of them. But in the end, I think the United States has to recognize that we do not want a Turkey that is having such serious economic problems that those problems impact on the economy of the world. In addition to that, because we have a very important reliance from our military on bases in Turkey, we don't want to face a situation where Turkey suddenly begins to threaten us with shutting down that military base. So for all those reasons, at some point, I think, if we continue at least communicating through diplomatic channels, I think they'll be able to find a way to resolve this issue with the pastor and with our relationship with Turkey.
Is there a chance in your mind that Turkey, Erdogan is going to, and President Trump are going to come to such loggerheads that Erdogan is going to lean even more heavily on Russia, even to the point of perhaps even withdrawing from NATO?
I think that's a danger, obviously. Because the longer this goes on, the more Turkey will rely on Russia, the more other countries in that region will look to Russia for leadership in the Middle East. And Russia, obviously, through the aggression in Syria, took that step in order to establish a foothold in the Middle East. So I think the United States has to be concerned that if we don't restore our traditional alliances in that part of the world with Turkey and with our moderate Arab countries in that region, that if we don't have a coalition that is able to deal with threats from Iran, threats from ISIS, and threats from terrorism, I think it will weaken the United States' position not only in the world, but it will weaken our position with regards to the security steps that are necessary for us to take. And we need Turkey in order to be able to do that.
But Turkey, on the other hand, also is fearful or suspicious that we are somehow in cahoots with the Kurds, because we have backed the Kurds fighting in Syria. And, of course, the Kurds, there's an insurgency group in Syria. And Erdogan thinks that they are trying to overthrow him. So you've also got to factor into the Kurdish problem into this.
No, there's no question. That has long been an aggravation in the relationship between Turkey and the United States. They consider elements of the Kurds to be anti-Turkey, to be involved in terrorism in Turkey, and as a result have confronted that group for a long time. But we have always walked a fine line here because in Iraq, the Kurds dominate the northern part of Iraq. And at the same time, while the Turks have been concerned about one element of the Kurds, we have still been able to resolve issues with Turkey, despite the concern about the Kurds. Now, Syria, they've obviously objected to our use of the Kurds there. But at the same time, the United States has been successful in using Kurds against ISIS. And we should continue to do that. Look, you know, the bottom line in this relationship is that when you look at the underlying fundamentals that are involved in this relationship, both countries need each other.
So what would be, if you were in your old job at Secretary of Defense or Director of the CIA for this new president, President Trump, what would you advise him as to this particular problem with Turkey? You know, how does this get resolved?
I think it gets resolved like other problems get resolved by asking Secretary Pompeo, Secretary Mattis, to engage with the Turks and with President Erdogan, and try to at least open up a channel of communications where our diplomats can sit down and try to see if there isn't a way to resolve some of these differences that we have. The only way this is going to be resolved is if there is a real effort at trying to continue to communicate with Erdogan and with our counterparts in Turkey. That's the way you get things done. If you shut that door, if you continue to fight each other, if the United States continues to increase tariffs, if Turkey continues to reach out to Russia and others, then that important relationship could be severed in a way that will hurt the security of not only both countries, but the security of the world.
How can the relationship between the United States and Turkey be repaired? Robert Pearson is a former U.S. ambassador to Turkey, serving under Presidents Bill Clinton and George W. Bush. He was also president of IREX, a non-governmental organization focused on international development, and he's a frequent writer and speaker about issues concerning Turkey. Robert Pearson joins us from Raleigh, North Carolina. Nice to see you, Ambassador.
Nice to be here. Thank you very much.
Ambassador, former Secretary of Defense, former CIA Director Leon Panetta said that there is a danger. He didn't describe how much of a danger, but a danger that as Turkey sort of cozies up to Russia, they bind the S-400 missile defense, for instance, that there's a possibility or a chance, a danger, that Turkey could withdraw from NATO. Do you see that as a risk?
I don't see Turkey withdrawing from NATO. Turkey has and receives enormous prestige from being part of NATO, has been a part of NATO since the 1950s, still receive important benefits. They're going to have a new NATO command stationed in Turkey in the next couple of years. They do the security at Kabul Airport. They have a voice at the table every single week on issues affecting transatlantic and European security. I don't think that they have any intention of withdrawing from NATO. That would be the worst possible step they could take. I don't think they're contemplating that now.
Well, the United States doesn't like that these S-400 missile defense are being sold to Turkey by Russia. Is there any risk in your mind that Turkey will in some way inhibit the use of that air base to the United States in Turkey that's so important to the United States?
I think that's another very difficult issue, and I think it's commendable that despite all the problems Turkey and the United States have had over the years, including recently, the Incirlik Air Base has continued to operate. Missions are flown out of there in aid of the effort in Syria to eliminate ISIS. The Turks know this. There was a time when someone in the Turkish leadership mentioned something about closing Incirlik, and the lira immediately began a free fall. So I think that to raise such an issue right now on the Turkish side would further destabilize the lira. So Incirlik is a very important base. We've used it for a long, long time, but it's not indispensable. In recent years, Turkey has acted as if it's the most important partner in the relationship with Europe. It has showed disdain for European views, even calling European leaders Nazis. It's used the most insulting language against the United States and acts as if we don't care, that they can take us for granted. And I think this issue with Pastor Brunson is really about the relationship. Are we going to have a working relationship or not? We have a start in Manbij, where Turkish and American forces have agreed to work together to separate combatants and to secure the Turkish border a bit more. And there are a lot of other things that we can do. But this idea that they somehow have the right to insult us on the one hand, and then if they feel badly about the way things are going, embrace the NATO treaty and embrace their strategic partnership with the United States, is just an exercise in hypocrisy.
Well, wait, how do you resolve the issue, though, with Pastor Brunson? Because the president says he wants Pastor Brunson released, the Christian pastor, and he's already imposed sanctions, significant sanctions on the steel and aluminum industry of Turkey. It's having an impact, I think, on the lira, and certainly Erdogan says that it has. But, I mean, if Pastor Brunson doesn't get released, I think President Trump is going to impose more sanctions. It's going to be more trouble. Then what?
Well, that's you're really on the important point here. Nothing that would resolve the Brunson issue is going to actually help the Turkish economy, except temporarily. The Turkish economy has been troubled and weak for years. Turkey has not run a trade surplus since the mid-1970s. It's in desperate need of real reform. And Mr. Erdogan's theory of economics is worsening the problem. In all of the conversations the Turks have had with the Europeans, with the Americans, with financial centers in the last 10 days, the three words that have never been mentioned are raise interest rates. And that's what will stabilize the lira. And there is a solution on the Brunson side, but those two things really are not. Solving Brunson will not save the Turkish economy. Only Mr. Erdogan and his advisors can do that.
Ambassador, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
With us in the studio, Sinan Sidi, Executive Director of the Institute of Turkish Studies at Georgetown University, and Daniel Balsan of Amnesty International. He is the Director of Advocacy for Europe and Central Asia. Welcome to both of you. First to you, Daniel. Let me talk about Pastor Brunson. How serious is this issue with the president and Erdogan, Pastor Brunson?
Well, thank you for asking, Greta. This is absolutely a serious issue.
And I didn't mean to undermine, but I mean serious as to all the other related issues. Obviously very serious for Brunson and his family.
Certainly. And there's a critical context here that sometimes isn't covered. And that context is that since the 2016 coup attempt, we've seen almost the wholesale subjugation and political manipulation of Turkey's judiciary, Turkey's police force, Turkey's courts, to the point that if the government wants to imprison an individual for political reasons, that individual has very little recourse in Turkey. And the numbers bear this out. We've seen 100,000-plus people, for your American viewers, that's the population of Albany, New York, face criminal charges, and half that number are in prison awaiting trial.
You know, Sinan, much of this, I mean, I think that Daniel's talking about has to do with the vote in April of 2017, which gave Erdogan an incredible amount of power that he didn't have before, essentially giving him powers to be a dictator. You know, what provoked that vote?
This is something that he actually wanted for a long time.
He wanted that.
Yes, absolutely. He was very much interested in instigating a political system of governance that very much suited his personal needs to consolidate and, in another fashion, usurp power. The coup attempt really fast-tracked that because although they'd been talking about promulgating a presidential or hyper-presidential system in the Turkish case, it was a little bit difficult to sell to the public until after the coup attempt of 2016, which enabled Erdogan to say, in order to sort of make sure that we don't have anything else that comes close to overthrowing, quote-unquote, a democratically elected regime in Turkey, we need a more efficient form of government, which basically fast-tracked a system of government that gets rid of dissidents as well as any sort of institutional opposition to him.
Well, when that coup happened in July of 2016, Erdogan asked for the United States to pick up Gulen in Pennsylvania, who he said was the one who provoked it here in the United States, and send him back to Turkey. The United States said no. And now, of course, with Brunson, President Trump says he wants Brunson. Erdogan says, okay, give me Gulen. that puts us at a very awkward standoff between these two countries.
It does. And to be fair, the United States didn't say no. The United States says per the existing extradition treaty between the United States and Turkey, Turkey is obligated with proving the charges. It has to, those charges against any individual that Turkey wants extradited has to stand up in a U.S. court of law.
Essentially saying no, though.
Essentially saying until Turkey meets the burden of proof, which it hasn't done, then the U.S.
Gulen,
can't just...
Do you think Gulen is responsible in any way or not?
I have no way of knowing that, except to say I suspect he has a considerable amount of involvement. It's just the Turkish authorities have failed to prove that in a U.S. court of law.
Daniel, what's it like for journalism and free press over in Turkey? Because that's always an effective tool to put a spotlight on problems.
That's absolutely right. You know, some of the problems I outlined just earlier with respect to the rule of law. In a free society, what would happen is that the media would get involved. They'd start asking questions. They'd start holding individuals to account. That's plainly not possible in Turkey because since the failed coup attempt, we've seen 180 media outlets shuttered. And the fundamental mechanics of journalism have been rendered illegal. Individuals have gone to prison for things as mundane as hosting a TV panel such as this, drafting editorial cartoons, writing and editing off magazines and newspapers. This has created a climate of fear. And so many individuals in Turkey are plainly afraid to speak out and criticize the government and the decisions that are being made.
See, now, Erdogan blames the United States for its economic problems right now. And they preceded this whole dispute with Pastor Brunson. Do the people of Turkey, do they see the United States as the bad guy in this, in their economic woes? Or do they see this as Erdogan cooking this up?
There is considerable heightened antipathy towards the United States. And just to put it in context, you know, views about the United States by the average Turkish citizen had always been pretty negative. You know, anti-Americanism in Turkey had always been quite high. But particularly since the onslaught of Erdogan against the United States and blaming it for its current economic sort of malaise, that really has ratcheted up with, obviously, the recent attack on the U.S. embassy in Ankara. Erdogan has a considerable effect in mobilizing anti-American sentiment against the United States right now, and that's likely to get worse.
Is Pastor Brunson going to be released?
I have no way of knowing that.
But give me a guess.
I think that this current administration is certainly leveraging a lot of pressure on Turkey. And one would hope that in order to cultivate the many millions of Turks who are not entirely aligned with Erdogan and speak out against the policies that are being run out of Ankara right now, at great personal risk, that this administration is speaking to the issues that concern them, which are fundamental freedoms such as freedom of speech and freedom of assembly, which are currently restricted in Turkey.
Gentlemen, thank you both very much. Obviously a very important topic.
Thank you.
That's all the time we have for today. Stay plugged in by liking us on Facebook at Voice of America. You can also like my Facebook page at facebook.com/Greta. And follow me on Twitter @Greta. Thank you for being plugged in.